Message Books in San Francisco. Proceeds benefit KPFA and the Middle East Children's Alliance. For more information, you can call 510-848-6767, extension 609.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 o'clock. Stay tuned next for Guns and Butter.
There's something happening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Telling me. Got to beware. It's time we stop.
This is Guns and Butter. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. Welcome today. Today is a fundraiser for Free Speech Radio. Here on KPFA, we have a very special show for you today. A brand new show, The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw, with Canadian journalist Barry Zwicker. This is a DD, and we're going to be playing cuts for you from it. I want to get started right away and play you the introduction, The Great Conspiracy.
Hello, I'm Barry Zwicker, journalist and media critic. Welcome to The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw. On this program, we ask questions the 9/11 Commission and the media never asked. We introduce experts you've never seen before and provide background you never get. We recommend books, magazines, videos, and DVDs you've probably never heard of, and websites the media keep under wraps. We avoid thought stoppers, such as anti-American and conspiracy theorists, and that new word believed to be linked to Al-Qaeda. U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared, "The greatest thing we have to fear is fear itself." And indeed, fear may well be the greatest single human motivator. It can serve us, and it can save us. But ill-founded fear, that's another story. For instance, before we commit to a war based on a threat we're told to fear, before we commit our children's blood and billions of dollars to that war, we'd better be sure the threat is real, that a clear and present danger exists. Because war itself is to be feared. U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt fought fear. Today's leaders traffic in it, chiefly the fear of terrorism. That's it. Not global warming, not domestic and worldwide injustice, not rampant militarism, not war itself, or even war without end. Just terrorism. The words are hypnotically repeated. Terrorism, terrorist, terrorist threat, and of course, believed to be linked to Al-Qaeda. These words appear in millions of newspaper and magazine headlines and are embedded by the billions in stories. But it's the so-called war on terrorism that's in our faces practically 24/7 as the inescapable focus of our existence and the justification for great sacrifice.
One day, our grandchildren will look back on this time and ask, how was the war on terror won? And we will tell them about the brave men and women who gave their lives so that we could live in freedom.
Some have it that our support for this new quasi-religion, the so-called war on terrorism, is the measure of our commitment to country and civilization. This program explores interwoven fictions that make up the fabric of the so-called war on terrorism. It explores the promiscuous issuing of terror alerts. It explores the biggest secret and dirtiest deception of all: bloody terrorist events carried out not by foreign, but by our governments, to trick the public into supporting war and police state agendas. We explore in particular the radioactive core of today's terrorist hysteria, namely the official story of 9/11, the overarching fiction and crime and cover-up of our time. Before you see this program, or after you do, there may well be another state-sponsored dirty deception. If there is, and if the information in this program helps you to see it for what it is, it will have been worthwhile. The sacred text at the heart of the so-called war on terrorism is the official narrative of what happened on September 11th, 2001, namely that the whole of U.S. intelligence, civil aviation, military, and the political apparatus is caught completely off guard by one evil man and his small network of co-conspirators.
America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest being for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep that light from shining.
That provides ready-made, easy-to-hate villains and their motives. They hate our freedoms, George Bush repeats over and over. But the official story just doesn't make sense, as we will show. It's exploited as planned by its creators, the government. But final responsibility for the unbelievable story living on to the extent it does in the public mind lies with the vast majority of my colleagues in the mainstream media. If they ever start to do their job properly and examine it skeptically, the official story will crumble into dust finer than that of the Twin Towers. Now, absolutely no one disagrees that 9/11 was a conspiracy. Conspiracy is at the heart of the official story, after all. A conspiracy perpetrated, allegedly, by Osama bin Laden. But what if the conspiracy were hatched not in a cave in Afghanistan, but in Washington, D.C., at the highest levels of the U.S. government? What if the public found out the official story is a big lie? How might that change plans for endless war? There are other paths to true security and lasting peace. The first step on those paths is to expose the official 9/11 story for what it is, a contrived fiction, and then demand a true accounting of what happened on 9/11 and who was behind the events of that day. Terrorism has been with us for a long time. It tends to be the last resort of the powerless, suffering under acute injustice. And as such, one person's terrorist is seen by another as a freedom fighter. This is what Noam Chomsky calls retail terrorism, that carried out by angry or paid individuals. But then there's wholesale terrorism, that carried out by states. Robert Jensen writes in the Houston Chronicle, "For more than five decades throughout the Third World, the United States has deliberately targeted civilians or engaged in violence so indiscriminate that there is no other way to understand it except as terrorism. And it has supported similar acts of terrorism by client states." He could have reached back further. In his new book, The American Empire and the Fourth World, Anthony J. Hall, according to one reviewer, connects the unspeakable crimes visited upon indigenous people since the conquest by Columbus in 1492 to today's so-called war on terror. According to Hall himself, the imagery of terrorism has replaced that of savagery and then communism as the main explanatory catch-all to describe the real, illusory, or manufactured enemies of the American way of life. So, on one side, ours, the use of terror either is not admitted or is simply defined as not terror. And the other side's terror is defined as the only kind of terror. Terror then needs to be put into perspective. Perspective, writes Lawrence Martin, former Washington correspondent for the Globe and Mail, is a ghost in American journalism. Last year, acts of terrorism killed 300 to 400 people, ranking it so far down the list of dangers that it is barely visible. He might have added that 300 is the number of Americans struck by lightning each year. Another note about appearance and reality. The vast majority of people arrested as terrorism suspects are released without charges being laid. It's the arrest stories with those Arab names and pictures that remain in the public mind as reality. Isn't there a pattern of state-sponsored, media-abetted deception here? But the dirtiest secret about terrorism is also by far the largest. Many spectacular acts of terrorism are fearsome fakeries carried out by cabals within governments, and I mean our own governments. The gold standard is the attack on one's own country to mobilize public opinion for power, political gain, and profit. The Nazis masterminded the torching of the Reichstag, the German parliament buildings, on February the 27th, 1933, 1 week before a national election. That they did so is historical fact. Portrayed best in William L. Shirer's masterpiece, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Within hours, Hitler and his henchmen designate the communists as the villains and label them terrorists. The government promises proof, but never provides it. The communists did not do it. A single communist was the patsy. The big lie of who torched the Reichstag is used by Hitler to sow fear. He bullies the German president to sign a decree suspending 7 main articles of the German Constitution. The claim is that the fatherland, think homeland, is under threat. Ensuing arrests and murders of communists and socialists terrorize anti-Hitler dissent. In the ensuing election, Hitler does not get the majority he needs to rule. But soon after, he essentially seizes power. He then is free to launch preemptive strikes against other countries and wage a world war sold patriotic. The ultimate result for Germans is calamitous. 600,000 civilians dead, 7.5 million homeless, their country broke and in ruins. The Reichstag fire was a major turning point. Within hours of the planes crashing into the World Trade Center, the Bush White House designates the alleged villains. Within 30 days, the U.S. Constitution and the civil liberties of Americans are weakened by near unanimous passage of the Patriot Act. A war on terror is announced. Within months, preemptive strikes are launched against Afghanistan and Iraq, though no evidence is produced that Iraq took part in 9/11. Dissent in the USA is under fire, even as millions in the USA and worldwide oppose the Iraq war. The White House announces that the war on terror, in effect, world war, may never end. At least 1,000 Americans are soon to die in Iraq alone. Expenditures mount into the trillions. The so-called war on terrorism justifies the mounting deaths of U.S. soldiers and civilians in Iraq and elsewhere, justifies the little publicized construction of giant new U.S. military bases overseas, and is the basis for the doctrine of preemptive war, contrary to international law and basic morality. It's responsible for grotesquely ballooning deficits to pay for all this, debts being passed on to coming generations, and plans for even more expenditures on terror-fighting bureaucracies. The so-called war on terror is cited as the ultimate basis for sharp increases in domestic spying and reduction in freedoms and civil liberties at home and attempts to criminalize dissent. All this because the official authorized truth is that foreign terrorists attacked the USA on 9/11. As we tape this in the summer of 2004, fear grows as authorities and pundits predict more terrorist events on the scale of 9/11 or greater. The I word, inevitable, is increasingly used. The designated scapegoats of 9/11 gained nothing positive from it. On the other hand, even the hardliners in Washington themselves agree 9/11 boosted their agenda. Who benefits from more of the same? The fear campaign, always resting on the official 9/11 story, looks deliberate. Again, what if the official story of 9/11 is a big lie? You probably don't know, if you're trapped inside the cocoon spun by the North American media industry, that there is in fact widespread skepticism about who was behind 9/11. 30% of Germans, according to reliable polls, think the U.S. government had a hand in it. They remember that big Reichstag deception. This poll done in Canada in May 2004 showed 63% of Canadians think individuals within the U.S. government, including the White House, had prior knowledge of the plans for the events of September 11th and failed to take appropriate action to stop them. In this program, we present some of the accumulating evidence indicating that lying behind the great deception of 9/11 is the great conspiracy of 9/11. But first, more historical context. Three true stories of fake attacks on America. If 9/11 is a big lie, a fake attack, an inside job, is it unique? No, quite the reverse. Most war-triggering incidents are great deceptions. The Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War, the attack on Pearl Harbor, all involved secretly contrived attacks on Americans planned or encouraged by American presidents. The Vietnam War and Desert Storm in 1991 also were triggered by deceptions involving U.S. presidents. If 9/11 is not such a deception, it's an exception to the rule. Most people want peace most of the time. That's a problem for rulers bent on war. History teaches that rulers arranging for their country to be attacked, or appear to be attacked, is the fastest method for these rulers to get their way when they want war. Consider only three cases, starting with this book, Body of Secrets. Author James Bamford is a former Washington investigative producer for ABC's World News Tonight with Peter Jennings. I learned of this book on ABC's website. Bamford's information comes from interviews with, for instance, the former dean of the U.S. intelligence community, and from government documents. It takes 80 pages to list Bamford's more than 600 information sources. Here's the story. It's 1962. John F. Kennedy is U.S. president, Robert McNamara is Secretary of Defense, and Admiral Lyman Lemnitzer heads the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. The CIA fails in its illegal Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. JFK decides, Bamford writes, to back away from military solutions to the Cuban problem. But Lemnitzer, the CIA, and others at the top remain obsessed with Cuba. Writes Bamford, as the Kennedy brothers appeared to suddenly go soft on Cuba, Lemnitzer could see his opportunity to invade quickly slipping away. Attempts to provoke the Cuban public to revolt seemed dead. Lemnitzer and the other chiefs knew there was only one option left that would ensure their war. They would have to trick the American public and world opinion. Lemnitzer comes up with Operation Northwoods. We could blow up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blame Cuba. Casualty lists in U.S. newspapers would cause a helpful wave of national indignation. We could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area, in other Florida cities, and even in Washington. An elaborate variation. Create an exact duplicate for a civil registered aircraft. At a designated time, the duplicate would be loaded with selected passengers, all boarded under carefully prepared aliases. The actual registered aircraft would be converted to a drone, a remotely controlled unmanned aircraft. The destruction of that aircraft will be triggered by radio signal. The Cubans would be blamed. Finally, another variation is described by Bamford. On February the 20th, 1962, John Glenn was to lift off from Cape Canaveral on his historic journey. Lemnitzer proposed that should the rocket explode and kill Glenn, the objective is to provide irrevocable proof that the fault lies with Cuba by manufacturing various pieces of evidence which would prove electronic interference on the part of the Cubans. Thus, Bamford notes, as NASA prepared to send the first American into space, the Joint Chiefs of Staff were preparing to use John Glenn's possible death as a pretext to launch a war. The Operation Northwoods plan shows the Pentagon was capable, according to Bamford, of launching a secret and bloody war of terrorism against their own country in order to trick the American public into supporting a war on Cuba. In light of this, does Pentagon complicity in the events of September 11th sound entirely far-fetched? Now, fast forward just 2 years from Operation Northwoods to August 2nd, 1964. In the Gulf of Tonkin, North Vietnamese torpedo boats attack the U.S. destroyer Maddox. The Associated Press story, for some reason, is Dateline Pearl Harbor. The lead: three PT boats, identified by Secretary of State Dean Rusk as North Vietnamese, attacked. Later, a second U.S. destroyer is attacked, according to news reports. Although no U.S. sailor suffers a scratch, the American public is outraged. President Lyndon Johnson goes on television to ask the country to support war action. 2 days later, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution is approved by the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously, then by the Senate, 88-2. The resolution becomes the entire justification for the United States war against Vietnam. Before that's over, 58,000 American soldiers and 3 million Vietnamese die. One small problem. there never were any North Vietnamese PT boats. The events never happened. As Secretary of State Rusk, the President, and Defense Secretary Robert McNamara well know. They know because they plan the entire deception. One source for this is former Admiral James Stockdale in his book, In Love and War. On the night in question, Stockdale is at the controls of a fighter jet flying cover for the two destroyers. He sees nothing. Another source is Ben Bradley, much respected former managing editor of the Washington Post. Bradley, in a public lecture in England in April 1987, states, "The facts behind this critically important resolution were quite simply lies." Fast forward again to August 2, 1990. Iraq attacks Kuwait, claiming the Kuwaitis are slant drilling into Iraq's oil fields. U.S. President George Herbert Walker Bush pushes for a land war against Iraq, but polls show the U.S. public is split 50-50 on that idea. Then comes this eyewitness testimony before a congressional committee from a 15-year-old Kuwaiti girl. The claim is she cannot be identified for fear of reprisals.
While I was there, I saw the Iraqi soldiers come into the hospital with guns. They took the babies out of the incubators. Took the incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
The U.S. public is outraged. The result? Support for land war zooms. It's a turning point. Desert Storm is launched. 135,000 Iraqis killed. An estimated 1 million Iraqis, many of them children and old people, then die as a result of 10 years of sanctions. One small problem. There never were any incubator baby deaths. Not one. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's investigative flagship program, The Fifth Estate, reveals the girl to be the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter, given her lines and coached in acting by the giant American PR firm Hill & Knowlton. It's one phase in a $10 million joint U.S.-Kuwaiti campaign of deception. This man is lying.
I myself buried 14 newborn babies that had been taken from their incubators.
This man is lying.
And they had kids in incubators, and they were thrown out of the incubators so that Kuwait could be systematically dismantled.
There were a lot of people who participated in a conspiracy. Yes, an out-and-out conspiracy of fake organizations, false documents, fraud, and disinformation. So, if a new man named Bush is in the White House and helps engineer a brazen deception in order to achieve global geopolitical goals as well as domestic and personal ones, it wouldn't be a first, would it?
Today, democracy can ebb away in communities whose citizens allow power to become concentrated in the hands of bosses.
What I say goes, see? I'm the law around here.
The test of despotic power is that it can disregard the will of the people.
A detailed look at the events of September 11th, 2001. The events of 9/11 begin with aircraft going wildly off course. Incredibly, despite radar tracking for almost 2 hours, the whole of the mighty U.S. Air Force goes AWOL that morning. It's a mind-bending anomaly. Not a single U.S. Air Force interceptor turns a wheel until it's too late. There are no jets at all. It's a matter of historical record. That could happen only two ways. Either it was staggering multiple simultaneous coincidental incompetence at all levels in many agencies defying known laws of averages, a 34 million to one chance, which is the 9/11 Commission official story. There's another explanation. The U.S. Air Force is neutralized by design. The evidence indicates this is about a one-to-one chance. Standard procedures for dealing with aviation emergencies of all kinds have been in place and have worked for years. David Ray Griffin is the author of The New Pearl Harbor, the most widely respected critique of the official story of 9/11. He quotes the Federal Aviation Authority's Aeronautical Information Manual, Official Guide to Basic Flight Information and Air Traffic Control, ATC, procedures. It states, if you are in doubt that a situation constitutes an emergency or potential emergency, handle it as though it were an emergency. As for the military, the guiding document is ACC 113-SAOC, Volume 3, U.S. Air Defense Command and Control Operations. At the top of the first page, it reads, compliance with this order is mandatory. The first paragraph reads, in part, the ADC, Air Defense Command, is to provide North American Aerospace Defense Command with the means to detect, monitor, identify, intercept, report, and if necessary, destroy any airborne object that may pose a threat to North America in the fulfillment of the Tactical Threat Warning Attack Assessment and to provide such information to collateral missions of NORAD. 40 experts on 9/11 testified at the six-day International Citizens Inquiry into 9/11, held in Toronto in May of 2004. I helped organize that event. Dr. Robert M. Bowman is a veteran of 122 combat missions in Vietnam. His 22-year Air Force career culminated in his job as Director of Advanced Space Programs Development for the Air Force Space Division during the presidency of Ronald Reagan. He's president of the Institute for Space and Security Studies. His presentation to the Citizens Inquiry was titled, A Fighter Pilot Looks Back at 9/11.
9/11 is related to just about everything else, particularly the war against Iraq. These two things have one aspect very much in common. They are both, in my opinion, treason. The cabal of neoconservatives at PNAC, I think you all know what that is, who planned this war, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Libby, Pearl, Jeb Bush, even before W became president, I don't say elected, I say became president, this cabal knew the American people would not stand for a war against Iraq unless there was, as they put it in their own document, a new Pearl Harbor. 9/11 supplied that.
In other words, 9/11 was a false flag operation. That's one term to describe an act carried out to make it appear it was done by someone else.
You've been listening to Canadian journalist Barry Zwicker, The Great Conspiracy, 9/11 News Special You Never Saw. That's a DVD that I've taken some cuts to play for you today on our fundraiser on Guns and Butter. I'm Bonnie Faulkner, and I'm happy to say that I'm joined in the on-air studio to help me fundraise today by a good friend of mine, the KPFA local station board member and former head of the San Francisco chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, Reva Antine.
Hi, Bonnie.
Welcome, Reva.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that was what you just heard was just the little beginning of a fabulous DVD, The Great Conspiracy, by Barry Zwicker. Barry Zwicker, as you recall, produced the 9/11 Citizens Inquiry in Toronto, which I attended, and I've brought you many shows from that. This is a new production that he's put together with great visuals. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, but with an additional 50 minutes of excerpts from Paul Thompson, who's the author of The Terror Timeline, The Complete 9/11 Timeline. And in addition, we have 16 minutes from Webster Tarpley, author of a new book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. This is a fabulous DVD that we're bringing you today on the last day of our fundraiser here for a contribution to Free Speech Radio News of KPFA Guns and Butter by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732 or locally 510-848-5732. We're going to be able to play you one more cut from this. This is a really interesting DVD for all of you 9/11 fans out there. This is a great primer. It has wonderful visuals. You see the towers, you see World Trade Center 7, you get to see George Bush reading his goat story to the children. This was produced for Canadian television, in fact. 1-800-439-5732. Your support today helps support Guns and Butter and support the programming that I and Yarrow Mucko bring you every week. 1-800-439-5732. This is a DVD, professionally produced. It would be great for your library. Also, you 9/11 specialists out there, this is a great all-inclusive 9/11 primer that you could provide to family and friends. For those people who still don't get it, it's packed full of information, resources. There's also an additional part of the DVD of 9/11 resources, lists of websites, books, pamphlets. Everything you've wanted to know about DVD about 9/11 is on this DVD. Please support the programming that I bring you every week here on Guns and Butter. Please give us a call. A $100 donation today will get you this DVD with Barry Zwicker, The Great Conspiracy. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. Reva, you hadn't heard this before, had you?
I hadn't, and it's good to be reminded of the context that he gives us, that there is a history of U.S. creating these pretext events. I had known that the Tonkin Gulf resolution was based on a fraud. We need to be reminded of this criminal behavior that the U.S. has repeatedly engaged in. And for those of us who still might be skeptical, this DD seems critical to understand how bloody our hands really are. So again, the DVD is worth getting, but in addition, listeners, please remember that but for Guns and Butter, we would not have a lot of these hard-hitting programs. No place else do we hear these kind of questions and analyses on 9/11. Guns and Butter was the first show on KPFA to talk about the stolen election 2004 early on, when many people were still going along with the going along. Support Guns and Butter. Support Free Speech Radio. Pledge. Get this DVD. It's really important. Thanks.
Reva, you can give out the numbers here.
Right. The two numbers are 1-800-439-5732 and locally 510-848-5732. Again, this is the last day of the fund drive. Support Guns and Butter. Support the kind of programming that Guns and Butter and KPFA is proud of. In these times, we really need people who are going to push the envelope and raise the issues that nobody else does.
The Great Conspiracy, 9/11 News Special, You Never Saw, with Barry Zwicker. Barry Zwicker was on 9/11 from the very beginning. He was on an email list that I was on, along with Kelly Ramirez and some of our other friends here in the Bay Area, the 9/11 activists, Joe Anzala, Jeff Strahl, Larry Chin. There's a whole Carol Brulé. A lot of us were on this story right from the very beginning. We owe a debt of gratitude to Barry Zwicker for producing the 9/11 Citizens Inquiry in Toronto. It was a fabulous event, and I've brought you some incredible shows from that. Please give us your support. A $100 contribution today on Guns and Butter gets you this incredible DVD. 1-800-439-5732. We've only got one open line. I want to thank everyone for this great support. We have two open lines, 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. We're so grateful to all of the listeners who show the great support every fund drive on Guns and Butter. I know 2 o'clock is kind of a tough time to tune in, but I've met so many of you who are so appreciative of the show that you actually take time on Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. It's almost a special event for some people to tune in to Gun Butter. We have one open line. Give us a call. I want to play you some other exciting audio. If we can fill up that last line, I want to play you this last cut. Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732 or locally 510 888-848-5732. I'm so happy that my friend Rita Antin is in here helping on Guns and Butter today. She's been a longtime supporter. In fact, on a lot of our early 9/11 events around the Bay Area, there was Rita Antin on stage as the head of the San Francisco National Lawyers Guild, giving a presentation on the Patriot Act, along with a lot of the 9/11 researchers. She's been a big supporter. Let's give Rita a big thanks for coming in today. I've got one open line. Let's fill it, and we'll go back to the audio. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw, with Canadian journalist Barry Zwicker. You only heard the very little beginning. I made you another 8-minute cut. Let's take a listen.
What did George Bush know about the events of 9/11, and when did he know them? I'm not asking George Bush, or Bill Clinton for that matter, knows or should have known in the weeks or years before, based on this or that so-called intelligence report that he sees or should have seen about vague or not so vague alleged terrorist threats. No, my questions are much more restricted. I'm asking what specific advance information George W. Bush has about the first plane hitting the World Trade Center before it strikes. How does he get that information, and from whom? Why does he act as if he has far less information than the record shows he must have had? Initial news reports show the president informed of the gravity of the situation that morning. That famous whisper in the ear must be put into context. It takes place at 9:05. That's 1 hour and 5 minutes after the first hijacking. 45 minutes after the FAA is aware of multiple errant airliners. 20 minutes after the first aircraft smashes into the Trade Center. 18 minutes after CNN breaks into regular programming. In other words, a torrent of hot water churns under the bridge before whisper time. Researchers Jared Israel and Ilarion Baikov of emperorsclothes.com write shortly after 9/11. The President of the United States travels with an entire staff, including the Secret Service, which is responsible for his safety. The members of this support team have the best communications equipment in the world. They maintain contact with, or can easily reach, Bush's cabinet, the National Military Command Center in the Pentagon, the FAA. Information concerning these alarming events must be shared with the President by his staff, otherwise they would be derelict in their duties. Not surprising, then, this report by ABC's John Cochran, traveling with the president, here speaking to Peter Jennings, not long after the president left his hotel. Peter, as you know, the president's down in Florida talking about education. He got out of his hotel suite this morning, was about to leave. Reporters saw the White House Chief of Staff, Andy Card, whisper into his ear. The reporter said to the president, "Do you know what's going on in New York?" He said he did. And he said he will have something about it later. His first event is in about half an hour at an elementary school in Sarasota, Florida. Something is very odd about the president's behavior. The president is aware, by his own words, that something serious is happening in New York. He additionally has to be aware of a great deal more about the situation. You have John Ashcroft later in the day at a press conference.
Immediately after the first report of a plane crashing into the World Trade Towers, numerous federal agencies coordinating with the White House mobilized their resources.
You have Vice President Dick Cheney, September 16th on NBC's Meet the Press. He tells host Tim Russert, "The Secret Service has an arrangement with the FAA. They had open lines after the World Trade Center was..." Then he stops himself. You have Laura Brown of the FAA. She attends hearings of the 9/11 Commission that bear on the aviation aspects of the day. Embarrassed by previous non-forthcoming testimony about the FAA's role, she sent an email in May of 2003 to members of the media whose business cards she had collected. Within minutes after the first aircraft hit the World Trade Center, she states in her email. The FAA immediately established several phone bridges that included FAA field facilities, the FAA command center, FAA headquarters, DOD, the Secret Service, and other government agencies. The U.S. Air Force liaison to the FAA immediately joined FAA headquarters phone bridge and established contact with NORAD on a separate line. The FAA shared real-time information on the phone bridges about the unfolding events, including information about loss of communication with aircraft, loss of transponder signals, unauthorized changes in course, and other actions being taken by all the flights of interest, including Flight 77. So, in light of all this, here's the odd thing about George Bush's behavior. He and his staff could cancel or postpone an easily postponable photo op, but they don't. Why? On 9/11, Bush acts, and I emphasize acts, as if he doesn't know, as if he's not in touch. He proceeds with, or feigns, normality. Now to something else that's puzzling. At a town hall session in Orlando, Florida, on December the 4th, 2001, here's the president's own account of the early morning of 9/11.
How did you feel when you heard about the terrorist attack?
Well, thank you, Jordan. Well, Jordan, you're not going to believe what state I was in when I heard about the terrorist attack. I was in Florida. And my chief of staff, Andy Card, well, actually, I was in a classroom talking about a reading program that works. And I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on.
The president tells us he sees, on an ordinary TV set outside a school classroom, the first plane hit the World Trade Center. He gives the oddly reinforcing detail that, quote, the TV was obviously on, unquote. He continues.
I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And I said, it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it.
Didn't have time to think about it. As if his being told, time to meet the kids, Mr. President, stops all his thought processes concerning the remarkable image of what he's told us he's just seen on an ordinary TV, on top of all his knowledge of the unprecedented situation from earlier in the morning. But anyway, could George Bush have seen, on ordinary TV, the first plane hit the World Trade Center? No, he could not have. The footage of that first strike only shows up on television the next day, September the 12th, 2001. It was taken by a French documentary crew that happened to be in downtown New York.
Holy shit!
The Orlando town hall session takes place 7 weeks after 9/11, so it can be suggested Bush confuses the second plane with the first. But how to explain this? We've all seen Andy Card do that. None of this can ever be retracted. It is an interlocking historical record. Why go on at length about this? Because it may one day become the basis for criminal court proceedings. Is George Bush one of a group of conspirators involved with the attack? George Bush is very convincing that he saw the first plane strike the World Trade Center the morning of 9/11 on regular TV. He provides supporting details, has repeated the story, and never retracted it. It has run on the White House website. Since he cannot have seen it on regular TV, as he claims, it is not unreasonable to conclude that he sees the first plane on private, closed-circuit TV earlier that morning, or in a private holding room later. Either way, I submit this could mean that someone had to arrange for cameras to be positioned and rolling to record the first plane strike. Those involved had to know precisely that the first plane was in the air, where and when the plane would hit. In other words, people closely associated with the President of the United States had very specific prior knowledge of the existence of the first plane, its destination, and its purpose.
Wow. The Great Conspiracy. The 9/11 news special you never saw. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. I'm joined with a supporter, a KPFA supporter, Guns and Butter supporter, Reva Antin. Thank goodness for that little kid, Jordan, huh?
Leave it to the kids. They know what to ask.
What a fabulous DVD. Fabulous visuals. This is a 9/11 must for your library. This is our gift to you today on Guns and Butter. We haven't offered this before. Barry Zwicker's been very generous with this new DVD. A $100 pledge. Please give us a call. This is the last day of our fundraiser. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Or locally, 510-848-5732. What a fabulous DVD. What a fabulous gift for all of you 9/11 aficionados out there. The information that Barry has in this DVD is absolutely incredible. We've got a full board of lights. What a great support. I'm so grateful to, I'm so appreciative of all of the listeners' support for Guns and Butter. Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732 or 1-510-848-5732. The Great Conspiracy, our gift to you today for a $100 contribution to Free Speech Radio. Where else would you hear this kind of material?
Let me just chime in. I've never been a studio during a fund drive, and seeing these lights light up is really exciting. I hear it from the airwaves when I listen to KPFA, but here I am. We're a full board of lights, which is such a validation for the programming of Guns and Butter. This is a vote of confidence that we want this kind of programming on KPFA. It's a full board. Stay with it. This is really worth doing. Again, it's an invaluable DVD. Let's hit it hard. Let's support Guns and Butter. Let's support Free Speech Radio. We're still full up. This is really exciting.
1-800-439-5732, The Great Conspiracy. And this is an extra special, exciting announcement. Barry Zwicker is going to be here in town for four premieres of the 9/11 news special You Never Saw. And this is going to come up in 2 weeks. Webster Tarpley is going to be joining him here. Webster is the author of a new book, 9/11 Synthetic Terrorism. They're going to be here in person in the Bay Area beginning March 9th, Wednesday, March 9th, at the Guild Theater in Menlo Park, then Thursday, March 10th, at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland, Friday, March 11th, at the Herbst Theater on Van Ness in San Francisco, and then on Saturday night, March 12th, at the Oddfellows Hall in Santa Rosa. I'm going to be emceeing that event along with, on the panel will be Peter Phillips, head of Project Censored. That's going to be a fundraiser for Project Censored. The other three premieres are going to be a fundraiser for our local 9/11 truth group. So I'm going to have this information at the desk. You can get this. You can Google, or you can go to www.deceptiondollar.com, deceptiondollar.com, for the full details of these premieres. You can come and meet Barry Zwicker in person. He's a fabulous person, a very nice man. And I want to thank you for all of the support we're getting. We've still got a full bank of phones. What do you think of that, Reva?
I've never seen anything like it. It's clear that KPFA listeners, or certainly those of you who are calling now, understand the importance of this kind of programming, the importance of Free Speech Radio. Keep those calls coming in. Be patient. We have one ringing now, but it's going to be full up soon. So we really appreciate the support. This is what makes our station strong. The only way that we can guarantee any semblance of democracy is free access to information. Let's support Guns and Butter. Let's support KPFA. I'll give the numbers again. 1-800-439-5732 and locally 510-848-5732. Still a full board.
Reva, you're bringing me luck. We're going to have to do this again. This is fun.
Bonnie, it's you.
I want to thank, we've got one open line. If you can't get through, give us a call, 1-800-439-5732. You must get this fabulous DVD, The Great Conspiracy, with Canadian broadcaster Barry Zwicker. You heard that last cut I did of George Bush answering the child Jordan's question about 9/11, where he was, and he admits right on camera that he saw the first plane hit the first tower, before he ever even entered the classroom. There is no way that he could have seen that unless that was being monitored by the government and that he was watching that on closed circuit television. This is a fabulous DVD. It includes a long clip of Paul Thompson from the 9/11 Toronto Inquiry. He's the author of the most complete 9/11 timeline, a long clip from Webster Tarpley, and also Dr. Robert Bowman on the flights. You heard a little bit from him. 1-800-439-5732, locally 510-848-5732. I want to thank Tom from Marin, a fabulous supporter of Guns and Butter. Thank you, Tom. Phil Heyman in San Francisco. Thank you, Phil. Scott Keeler in Campbell. Thank you, Scott. Diana Thomas in Petaluma. Molly Malone, Sebastopol. Michael Christ, Richmond. Thank you. All of these people have subscribed to Free Speech Radio today on Guns and Butter. Carol Tocano in San Francisco. Thank you, Carol. Judy Disgarcia, San Jose. David Williams, Alameda. Anya Bain, Oakland. Thank you. Tim Kennedy, Half Moon Bay. Stephen Doris, Haiku, Hawaii. Wow. Well, that must be an internet listener. Yeah, we get a lot of people on the internet. As a matter of fact, the phones are still full. You can always subscribe online at www.kpfa.org. Thank you to Mike Pandapas in Oakland. Give us a call. Put your phone on redial, 1-800-439-5732. Please keep calling because we do have a full phone bank. Oh, there's an open line somebody can get through. There's two open lines.
Okay, we're thanking some more folks here. Mohammed Sahadi of Foster City, thanks a lot. Joe Garcia, Oakland. Michael Edwards, Castro Valley. John Sheridan, hi John, Alameda. Ann Bruner, San Anselmo. Tom Pattinson, Novato. Ann Marquez, Ronert Park. Craig Stevens, Santa Rosa. Don Bertram, Fresno. Daphne McNeil, Ukiah, guess we get up there. Molly Rad, Belmont, thank you all. Thank you for supporting Guns and Butter. Thank you for your support of this kind of programming and support for Free Speech Radio News. I did the same thing you did.
Why Free Speech Radio?
Well, that's certainly a way to get a news hot off the wire in addition to what we get from Guns and Butter. Again, the number to call is 1-800-439-5732 and locally 510-848-5732.
We have four open lines, so if you've been trying to get through and you haven't been able to get through, this is your chance. You know, talk about 9/11. We've got so many 9/11 events coming up this weekend that if I don't announce them, my friends are going to have my head. Jim Hoffman and Don Paul, this Friday night, February 25th, the Marin Peace and Justice in San Rafael, they're going to give a 9/11 talk. As well, 9/11 researcher and head of 9/11 Citizens Watch, John Judge, is going to be in town this weekend, Friday night, the 25th, in Oakland at the Humanist Hall. And then Saturday night in San Francisco, John Judge will speak again. I'm going to have to find that announcement. Give us a call. We've got open lines for The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw. 1-800-439-5732. How could I forget that phone number? 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732.
While we're doing announcements, I have an announcement. Bill Mandel, a popular Pacifica programmer for 37 years, was thrown off the airwaves in 1995 for violating the so-called gag rule. Later, Larry Bensky and Robbie Osman were thrown off for violating the gag rule, but after our 99 victory were brought back. Bill must be as well. A delegation will deliver a petition demanding that Bill return to the airwaves to KPFA General Manager Roy Campanella on Monday, March 7th at 11:30. Log on to Bill's website at billmandel.net to sign the petition to bring him back. It's past time to right this wrong. Thank you.
Thanks, Reva. Please give us a call. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. That was Reva Antin. This is Guns and Butter. We have a great thank you gift today for you. If you subscribe today on the last day of our fundraiser, I want to get the lights lit up again. We have open lines if you've been trying to get through and you haven't been able to. Now is your chance. 1-800-439-5732. 5732, the DVD of The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw with Canadian broadcaster Barry Zwicker. And I neglected to mention that all of those four premieres of this, of The Great Conspiracy, on the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th here in the Bay Area with Barry Zwicker in person, all of those premieres are going to start at 7:30. And I will be making more announcements on Guns and Butter about these upcoming premieres of The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw. You know, this DVD has information, all kinds of resources on 9/11, websites, pamphlets, books, extended speeches from the 9/11 Toronto Citizens Inquiry with Paul Thompson, with Webster Tarpley, with Robert Bowman. You're going to love this DVD. This is a fabulous thing. If you're already a 9/11 expert, you can share this with friends. 1-800, where are my phone numbers? 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732.
Just one thing to add, for those who don't know, we had a 9/11 hearing in the United States, but some of the invited guests were denied visas. So actually the one in Toronto was full of the experts that we needed to hear from because Canada let these folks in. What is the United States so afraid of? Get the DVD. The answers are there. The truth. The U.S. government is afraid of the truth. We have to uncover it.
1-800-439-5732. Where else but on Guns and Butter are you going to get the straight scoop on 9/11? We've done it from the beginning. We're going to continue to do it. Kelly Oramaris and I were on this right from the start in our newsroom. As a matter of fact, I was so pleased that Barry Zwicker included that clip of George Bush admitting that he saw the first plane hit the first tower on television before it was ever broadcast. Kelly Oramaris and I had that information up in the newsroom at the time, and I remember we used to have lengthy talks about what to do with this. How do you figure this out? What is going on? This is fabulous that he has included this information. This DVD includes great visuals of the towers, lots of great visuals of 9/11, and of course he covers all of the aspects. He puts 9/11 in its historical context. Give us a call. A $100 donation gets you the Great Conspiracy DVD. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732.
Thank you all. We have some phone lines open. Let's end this one really strong. We already have. We're very proud of our listeners. We're very proud of Guns and Butter and the hard work that Bonnie Faulkner does to produce the show every week. And it supports KPFA and Pacifica. And we should be proud of here in Berkeley producing this kind of information that is then listened to in Haiku, Hawaii.
Again, Barry Zwicker is going to be here on in town on Wednesday, March 9th, for the first premiere of The Great Conspiracy. You'll have to come and meet him, along with Webster Tarpley, in person for the screening of this film. That's going to be at the Guild Theater in Menlo Park on Wednesday the 9th, and Thursday the 10th at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland. You'll have plenty of time to go to at least one of these premieres. They're all at 7:30. Friday, March 11th, that's going to be at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco. And then Saturday, March 12th, up in Santa Rosa with me and with Peter Phillips from Project Censored at the Oddfellows Hotel in Santa Rosa. You can find out all of this information on the web by going to www.deceptiondollar.com. We've got three open lines. We want to go out with a full bank, don't we, Reva?
Yes.
Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732. $100 gets you this fabulous DVD. You won't be disappointed. The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special you never saw. Locally, 510-848-5732. We've got four open lines. 1-800-439-5732. Thank you so much, Reva. Thank you, listeners, for your wonderful support. Every time I come in here and ask for support, you always come through. I'm always amazed.
Thank you all. We have now just three open lines. We're going strong. We support this show. We thank you, listeners, for supporting this show. Let's keep it going. Two open lines. We're going well.
Two open lines. Let's fill them. 1-800-439-5732. This is a dynamite DVD.
Divided we will fall, cause love conquers all. You understand what I'm saying? This is a call to all.
The Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors will meet in teleconference.